אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. With 800 daily new cases per million in recent weeks, Israel has the worst levels of daily new coronavirus cases among OECD countries. But its fatality rates from the virus, 0.7%, are among the lowest. 5,304 Israelis have died from coronavirus. On Monday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu invited Professor Nadir Arbour of Tel Aviv's Ichilov Medical Center to his office and offered his full support for clinical tests of his coronavirus medicine, described last Friday as a huge breakthrough. Professor Arbour's ExoCD24 inhaled medicine had been administered to 30 patients whose conditions were moderate or worse, and all 30 recovered, 29 of them within 3 to 5 days. During the briefing, Netanyahu said, "I wish you success. If you need anything, say it and we will help you. This little thing could change the fate of humanity. This is amazing. Good luck." Israel allowed some relaxation of lockdown conditions this week, including the opening on Thursday of some schools for preschool to grade 4. However, there were numerous breaches of the regulations. 15,000 worshippers packed into the Temple Mount for Friday prayers in violation of public health guidelines, which limit outdoor crowds to 20 people. Participants were jammed up against each other, with many not wearing face masks. The first time the site had opened for Friday prayers after a 45-day shutdown. Three major shopping malls opened their doors on Thursday in violation of lockdown rules. The malls in Bat Yam, Petah Tikva and Carmiel applied their own health standards for reopening while aiming to prevent the sites from becoming virus infection hubs. They were allowing in people in 60 and over only if they'd received both doses of the two-shot vaccine, and people under 60 who had received the first shot, or those who had recovered from COVID-19 or tested negative in the past 72 hours, and also those under 16. Police closed the shops but refrained from imposing fines. Health Minister Yuli Edelstein said on Wednesday that he wanted legislation that would allow certain commercial and recreational activities to be reopened, but only to those who are vaccinated, and to enable employers to prevent workers who aren't vaccinated against the coronavirus from coming into work. He warned that the rule would also apply to the education system. Edelstein said that education workers who refuse the vaccine may even have to pay for a virus test every 48 hours if they want to keep teaching in person. Over 3,780,710 Israelis have received the first dose of the coronavirus vaccine, and 2,415,692 have received both doses, nearly a quarter of the entire population. Some 40% of Israelis aged 16 to 39 have received their first dose. Vaccinations in Israel are shown to have a 93% effectiveness rate, and Maccabi Healthcare Insurer says that none of its fully immunized patients has died, and only 4 have become seriously ill. Around 400 Palestinians, residents of East Jerusalem as well as Palestinians who work in Israel from the West Bank, were vaccinated against coronavirus on Wednesday at a Magen David Adom station near the Kalandia checkpoint, the first step to provide vaccinations to the 122,000 West Bank Palestinians who work in Israel. Like Haredim, East Jerusalem Palestinians have a very low take-up rate of the vaccination available to them through the health funds. The decline in case numbers this past week is attributed to the high rates of immunization, but it is not even across the population. 1 in 73 Haredi Israelis over the age of 65 has died of COVID-19, more than 4 times the number in the same cohort of the general population. In Jerusalem, where some 500,000 Haredi residents make up 40% of the city's population, the percentage of positive tests in the past week stood at 14%, a 25% drop from the week before, but still double the national rate. After several delays due to the coronavirus lockdown, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived on Monday morning at the Jerusalem District Court for the beginning of the evidentiary phase of his corruption trial. Netanyahu formally denied the charges against him and received permission from the judges to leave. The Prime Minister made no statement to the media before or after his court appearance. The event registered little public attention apart from a small protest against him. Weekly demonstrations against Netanyahu continued last night, but polls show that up to 54% of Israelis think he's the best prime ministerial candidate. 56% of Israelis think his legal troubles distract from the fight against the pandemic. This means that more than 10% of Israelis support the prime minister even if he is prioritizing legal immunity over viral immunity. Tikvah Hadashah's Gideon Sa'ar is his closest challenge in the election race that appears to be heading towards another deadlocked Knesset. Naftali Bennett's Yamina party is likely to hold the balance of power. Leaders on the right and the left are trying to persuade voters not to worry about candidates holding extreme positions. Prime Minister Netanyahu said on Wednesday night that the leader of the Kahanist Otzma Yehudi party will not be part of the next cabinet, but will be a member of his governing coalition. Dani Dayan of Gideon Sa'ar's Tikvah Hadashah on Thursday threatened not to enter into a coalition with the Labour Party due to its number 7 candidate, Ibtisan Marana, who in 2012 said she did not observe the siren for Shoah Commemoration Day. He later retracted and said that he would not sit with Labour if it supported Marana's actions and words. Labour leader Merav Michaeli said Marana will soon clarify her position. On Monday, a car thief was able to escape detention in the Air Force's Nevatim Air Base in the northern Negev after abandoning a car he'd previously stolen from the nearby town of Dimona. The car's tyres were punctured by security spikes inside the open gate of the base. The incident represented a resounding breach of security, and then on Wednesday, thieves were responsible for a major security breach at the Natan Army base in Beersheva, this time using drones to gather intelligence and cause a blackout. The thieves were unsuccessful in their attempt to steal weapons, but they did take other military equipment. The IDF on Wednesday demolished the home of Mohammed Mrouk Kapcha, who confessed to killing Esther Horgan in a terror attack late last year. The move came a week after the High Court of Justice gave the IDF the go-ahead to destroy the two floors of a building in the village of Tura al-Gharbiya near Jenin. Ben-Gurion Airport reopened briefly on Friday for 302 new immigrants from Ethiopia, including a 6-year-old boy in need of emergency heart surgery. The newcomers were taken to a 14-day quarantine period, except for the boy, who was quickly moved to a local hospital. The Ethiopians are part of the Falashmura, believed to have converted to Christianity under duress while adhering to their Jewish identity and some traditions. They will likely have to undergo conversion to be accepted as Jews here, even though they entered the country under the law of return. And finally, Israeli company Aleph Farms, in a joint statement with the Technion Institute of Technology, announced on Tuesday that it has made the world's first laboratory-cultivated ribeye steak. They said its unique three-dimensional bioprinting technique had produced a steak with attributes of a delicious, tender, juicy ribeye steak you'd buy from the butcher. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.